Blog Talk Radio.
Sorry, I'm a little late tonight. I had some people picking up some food, and so they just got here, and I just got them taken care of. So welcome to another episode of the West Texas Pitmaster Barbecue Show, Sunday nights, sponsored by Barbecue Superstars. We'll give a shout-out to the sponsors here in just a little bit. I think we got Steve Grimes already in the queue, and so we'll go ahead and get him started. I know he's been waiting a few minutes, and I know there's some guys over in the chat room, so we'll get it going. Two one six 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 seven three. You're live. Who do we have?
That's Monty Brown, Trash Can Cougars.
Hey man, how are you, buddy?
I just thought I'd chime in a little bit and give Steve a little hard time.
Well, there you go. Well, he ain't called in yet, so I thought you might be him.
No,
I did some ribs and stuff and some brisket today, and so they were coming over to pick it up, and so they were running a little bit behind, so I got them taken care of, so now I can cook. Well, it looks like you had a good weekend.
Yeah, we just got back from Hold'em and Hit'em there in Houston, so it was fun. Had a good time. Got to see a lot of new people. It's a new place I hadn't been to in a while, I've never been there, so it was fun, so.
Well, I believe you got a reserve. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, we pulled six in chicken and first brisket, which was enough for a reserve, and then Jan Canterbury got grand there. So
there you go.
Pretty good deal.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Well, that's good. Well, you ready for next weekend?
Oh, yes.
You're going to take it easy on me, aren't you?
Are you coming now?
I'm planning on it as we right now. If everything stays afloat, yes, I'll be there.
Well, all right.
So.
Well, it's good to meet you in person.
So I think I'm in space A76, I believe, is my space number. I'm kind of back there in the woods, but I'll get down there.
I think you're either far or you're further.
Yeah.
By looking at the map, I'm not sure, but it looks like you're either far or further.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like we're on the same side of the turn-in, so it kind of looks like it's a straight shot. So, you know, maybe it's not so bad, but you know, when you get those big contests like that, you know how it is. I mean, you start lining up people like that, and I've been to worse.
I have too.
So, I'll tell you what, the Royal this year is like that. I mean, that place that was nuts. You know, 530, 560 teams. They said they had 17 acres covered this year.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They took, I think it was taking us 7 minutes to get to turn in walking.
Really?
So, yes.
Pretty good hike.
Yeah, it was. I had two runners. I had my wife and one of my good friends. Used to live here in Texas. He was from, the Dallas Waco area. And he works for Cargill. For Excel, and they moved him up there several years back, and so they were like an hour or something away from Kansas City, and so we used to barbecue and stuff a lot together, and so he came over, and so I had him and my wife. I mean, they were taking turns doing turn-ins, you know, because, you know, that's just, I mean, 7 minutes, and then 7 minutes back, there's 14 minutes right there, and I mean, then you got to, you know,
yeah,
I mean, you need to start back.
Turn right back, trying to go.
And, you know, I was like, man. So, yeah, it worked out pretty good. We got everything turned in. Didn't anything DQ'd, so, I mean, you know, that's always a good day. I built a new rig, and so I've been trying to get everything done on it to come down there. And, matter of fact, I've got a get it all inspected and stuff this week. So if all that goes good, then I'll probably head down Friday morning or mid-morning, come on down and see you guys. So,
what'd you build?
I built a 22-foot porch trailer.
Oh, okay.
Got a little carried away. The damn thing weighs 9,000 pounds.
Really? That's more
for real.
Than
So, the pit that's sitting on the butt end of it weighs 1,800 pounds alone.
Dang!
Yeah.
You're going all out.
Yeah, that's what I told everybody. I said, man, well, I sure don't want to be in a wreck because I know what would be the last thing going through my mind will be. It won't be just my ass. It's going to be 22-foot trailer, then that pit's coming last.
That's right.
So, yeah, if you know how it is, you plan things, and you think you got everything all lined up and everything, and everything looks good and go, and then, you know, you hook onto your pickup, and you go, oh, crap. And then you go down to the scales, and then it confirms all of your worst fears in life. I'm like, yep.
Yeah, I got a right before I went this weekend to Houston. I got a recall notice on my Dodge. You know, and I usually drive pretty fast, and got a recall notice that the tie rod on the left side might go out on you while you're driving. Might cause an accident. I was thinking, oh my god, I got to go all the way to Houston.
What year Dodge do you drive?
Do what?
What year Dodge do you drive?
It's a 10.
10?
Yeah.
Mine's still an 04. I got about 80,000 on mine. And I really like my truck. I guess I'm going to have to find a diesel now, but I'll probably show up with it. Right now, I'm going to have to get down the road.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It doesn't have any any problem pulling the trigger, but God dang, you know, they put the fear in you when they tell you, you know, tie rod might fall out. Well, that means the left wheel's going to go that way, and then you're hoping the right wheel's going to stay straight, and the trigger's going to hold you there, you hope. If not, you're going to end up in a bar ditch, and the gooseneck will end up all over you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Those are the things that I don't like. I don't like to see. I don't like to be involved. You know, that's what someone said. So, well, your safe chains pretty good? And I said, I hope they're not. Well, why is that? And I said, I just seen that damn thing just go plumb away from me.
Yep.
Right. I said, if it comes loose, I just seen it's back there somewhere. I really don't want to be tied to it.
Just keep driving. Look in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, man, I just, you know, but yeah, I've had to, you know, being home, we built it, so, you know, I've got to go through a whole bunch of hoops and stuff like that. Since it weighs over 4,500 pounds, the state of Texas, you get to go through lots of hoops to get one titled.
Oh, yeah.
So, looks like a Christmas tree when I light it up. I think I've got 28 lights on it now, and, so there shouldn't be any denying when I come in.
you just drive up here and tell them, okay, well, I built a homemade trailer, and they wouldn't tell you anything. You know, just give you a plate and tag, and you're good to go. Now they want, you know, what you're going to do. They want pictures. They want a weight slip.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. I forgot. I've got to take a picture. Yeah, you're exactly right. I've got to take a picture of the stupid thing. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. Get your weight slip.
I still got a few more forms and stuff to fill out. I think I had to fill out about 3 or 4 pages of crap and get notary stuff notarized. And, you know, like I said, I mean, they just make it rough. You know,
so now you don't have an excuse. Now you got to show up, see?
Yeah.
Can't use that one.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, you know, hopefully I pass inspection and all that good stuff. And so that's kind of the plan right now is to, like I said, head out, you know, 10, 11 o'clock Friday morning, head down there. It's about 6.5, 7 hours for me, so.
Oh, yeah,
you
know. It's just a little high. Not too bad.
Yeah. About 60, 65 is about all my truck will pull this. I've got the Hemi and 392s, but it's a four-wheel drive half ton, so it,
Yeah, it's going to take you longer than that because you're going to be filling up with fuel everywhere you stuck.
Yeah,
everywhere you go.
Yeah. I might have to call in an airstrike to get me fueled, you know.
The other question I want to ask you come down to the MDBQ there in San Marcos. Were you planning on coming down for that?
Which one?
The National Barbecue Conference there in San Marcos.
I want to. I don't know. I mean, just, you know, the schedule, my schedule is just kind of crazy right now. So I'm kind of having to see where we're going to be and stuff like that. I really would love to come down there and hang out with everybody and do that. I just got to there's just so much going on this month. I get through this month, and once I kind of get through it, then I can kind of breathe and see what happens. I mean, it's been crazy for about the last, about the last 2.5 months. You know, we were involved in a TV show and a bunch of other stuff, and it just how it is. It piles up on you, I don't know. It's just, man. So, kind of my competition schedule kind of screwed up at the beginning of the year. But like I said, I don't know what, you know, usually by now I kind of know where I'm going to be until, you know, at least June or July. And, you know, I'm not even sure. I know we have this one. I have one on the books for Plainview, May the 3rd. It's going to be a Texas State Championship, maybe something you may be interested in. They're going to have a steak cook-off. Brett Galloway's coming. He's cooking. And the barbecue, he's going to sanction the steak cook-off and run the steak cook-off on Friday night, and then he's going to cook in the barbecue cook-off on Saturday.
And which one is this?
It's going to be it'll be the second annual Mark Marley Memorial Cook-Off. It'll be in Plainview. It'll be right here where I'm at. I think it's May 3rd, 4th, something like that.
Yeah, I've got that. I think because he sends, you know, he and I talk all the time as far as schedules, as far as state cook-offs and where we're going next and what have you. But I did see that. There's going to be a state championship cook-off down here real close to the house. So I may skip that event. Don't know yet. I mean, we're...
I understand. No, I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, when they're in your backyard, I mean, that's just you know, that's just one of those givens. I mean, you know, you've got to do those kind of things. So no, I know we have that. I know that. I think we're going to cook in Andrews, Cervantes, and Mo Kaysen. I think Robert Sierra, and all them. I think actually Ernest is putting on a barbecue class there in Andrews in April. And so they're having a kids' queue and a bunch of stuff. So, you know, that one always works, you know, kid queues for my daughter's stuff, so it's a good thing. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, in our area too. So I'm pretty sure we'll be doing it. And the big one that I usually do up here every year is Homer's Backyard Ball and our bash. And that's the weekend my niece is graduating from Baylor, like the 17th or something like that. So I'm kind of looking around down in that area because I think she graduates on Friday. So I'm kind of thinking about, since I'm going to be down there, I might just drag a cook trailer down there, and there's something kind of in the area down that way that I can go cook. I'll just come down there and cook. You know?
Heck yeah.
So... so, you know, that's kind of where I'm at right now. The National Barbecue deal, yes, I would love to.
I figured you'd come do a live radio show right from there.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I was wanting to do, and it may still work out. I don't know. It depends on what time I get out of here on Friday. I thought about doing a Friday Night Lights down at the Westernwood cook-off.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
we might be able to do that. The other one that was also that I've been asked about coming to is the one in Huntsville, that KBCS. And Shotgun Fred deal. And that's another one that, you know, but I mean, do what?
That's on my books.
So I'd like to go down and do that one. That's a 500-mile trip for me. And, you know, that's just it. I mean, you know, everything kind of this year, it's just kind of, you know, there's some good stuff going down y'all's way and the Houston area, but that's a long damn haul for me.
Yeah, it is. So, we've actually had a lot of dang good cook-offs down here. I mean, you know, used to you just crave for somebody that says, you know, it's $5,000, you know, and then, you know, down here lately it just seems like 10,000 is your new number. And so can't miss them. You got to go. You got to, you know, $1,000.
Well, and that's the way it is up here. I mean, we've had a lot of the 10,000 deal. I mean, we've got three this year. Buffalo Springs Lake, of course, I'll probably go to it because, you know, I was in the top five the first year, and then I won it last year. So, I mean, it's 40 minutes for me. So, it usually pulls 60 or 70 teams in state championship. And they pay out $10,000, so I'll be there. And, you know, then Andrews, I think that they've guaranteed $10,000, and then Homer's back there. $10,000 payout too. So, you know, it seems like up here, I mean, we've got some of it going. You know, it's kind of crazy. You know, thinking about $10,000 payout, stuff like that, you know. But, you know, that's kind of like at West Woodville. I mean, I think it's 35,000 right now.
Basically 35,000 for each cook-off. And, yeah, it's great. I mean, I loved it. I cooked the first one. Of course, I did good, so I can't have no complaints. And, but we'll go see what the next one's going to be like. But they do promote it really, you know, really well. They run it. You know, I mean, it's a cook's event, so.
Right.
It's a good event. Actually, it's
yeah.
Great.
I'm kind of hoping Steve didn't forget. I was kind of a little late. We had been emailing each other back and forth, and I meant to get him an email out yesterday with the link and the phone number, and I hope. And forgot.
I'll tell you what.
Do what?
So he hasn't called in yet?
No, he hasn't called in yet. I mean, that's, I sent him the email stuff here just a little bit ago. And, let me try to see. I may send him a message on Facebook, too. I don't have a cell number. But, yeah, so we talked all Monday or Tuesday, and he was game. And of course, you know, it's always hard, you know, on Sunday nights because some people go to church and stuff like that. And
well, I texted him just now, so hopefully he'll...
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so hopefully he'll...
Well, good deal. Yeah, like I said, I've been trying to, like I said, I had, you know, you have to set up an appointment to get these inspections and stuff, and my daughter had her birthday party this weekend, so we were in Lubbock all day yesterday, and so I didn't get home till late, and then, you know, so I got home, I was back out here, I picked up some parts and stuff in Lubbock. And I got home and, you know, went kind of to work back on everything to kind of finish things up. And then, like I said, I had to cook for it. So about 4 o'clock this morning, I started a brisket and stuff and some ribs. And it just, you know, I've been kind of messing with stuff all day long. And got everything kind of going. And then I had a regulator plug up from a hot water heater.
Dude.
And I was like, son of a gun. And you know how it is, Teflon and crap. You know, anytime you do something new. And so I finally got it unstopped. And the next thing I know, I was like, oh, crap. It's like 6 o'clock. I'm going to get some stuff posted. And that's when I emailed him with about, I don't know, 5:30, 6 o'clock, something like that. And then, like I said, the people were, I had talked to them about 4:30. And I just kind of had everything sitting in the warmer. And, they showed up about 10 minutes till the show. So.
Yeah, they, I know the feeling this weekend. We was at the, you know, at the cook-off. We go in there, and it's cold Friday night. Turn the heater on in my trailer. Everything's running good. And then I go to bed about 9:30, you know, Friday night. I go to bed, you know, bed about 9:30. And then... I wake up, it was about 1:30 or 2, I wake up freezing my butt off, thermostat went out, so it will tell the heater to turn on, but it won't tell it to restart. So I get out, you know how it is at 1 in the morning, and you know, hear all the music and hear everybody else in the background, it's hard to go back to sleep. And so you go do all that, get the thing started again, it's heating up. About 4 again, here comes the cold. You wake up, go back, restart it. Finally, you're just like, I give up.
I hear you.
What's up? What's the number you want Steve to dial in at?
He can dial in 347-202-0263. And then I'll just cue him in. Well, good deal. I'm glad you got a hold of him. I'm glad you called in tonight, buddy.
Yeah, you can tell me yourself right now.
Yeah, I've had to do that. You know, it's not a lot of fun talking to yourself.
I know it's not.
Unless you got a lot of alcohol or something.
No, that's true. Yeah, you can say all kinds of things.
You gotta have a lot of alcohol. Though.
We're gonna be shooting a commercial there in Helotes this weekend, so that'll be fun. So might want to come by and see how that's gonna go.
Shooting a commercial for what?
For grill grates.
Grill grates, really?
Yeah, we're gonna be doing our commercial there, so.
That's one of my sponsors.
Gonna be fun.
Too.
Do what?
Huh? I said, Brett's one of my sponsors too.
Yeah.
I ain't even talked to him much lately. Like I said, he's been kind of crazy.
he's great. I mean, he's been very supportive and helped me out a lot. So.
No, he is. He is great. As a matter of fact, I've got to get some new ones because, like I said, I built a on the back of the trailer. I've got a 8-foot reverse flow offset on it with a warming cabinet and everything, and then. Right next to it, I built a 2 foot by about 3.5 foot Santa Maria grill on it, and so I need to get some grates built to lay on top of that Santa Maria, and it's just huge back here. It's unbelievable.
You're not standing on it right now, are you?
Oh yeah, I'm in it. I got internet, I got TV, I'm pretty much home now. This kind of turned into a man cave in my front yard.
That's your dedication right there.
I used to do on my radio show pretty much outside on my old pit. Just got kids and wife and everything else going on in the house. And so I'd come outside and since you're on your cell phone, all I needed was a computer. Well, heck, I'm going to tell you this right now, it's like 65, 70 degrees in here. It's nice.
Oh, yeah, nice and warm.
It's warm. So I can kind of hang out. It's a lot stinking better. So.
Yeah, it will be.
So, yeah, I can kind of live out here. All right, I think Steve's here now. We got another 2210 number. Let me see if I can cue him in.
It's probably him.
210-288. 0962, you're live. Who do we have?
Hey, this is Steve Grahams from Western Premium Barbecue Products. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I thought that was you earlier, and it was Monty, and I said, man, I'm glad you called in tonight. You can kind of text him. I sent you an email earlier, but I thought, man, I don't know if he gets emails or not. So, but go ahead.
I said, are you excited about this big week we've got lined up? This could be the biggest barbecue week we've ever had in Texas.
Well, I just getting there down there this week. It's going to be the fun. That's what I was telling Monty. I built a new trailer and stuff, so I'm having to get some inspections and stuff this week. Once I get past Tuesday, and if everything goes good and get all my inspections off and get my tiling and everything, I am very excited about it. And
is that for you all the way up from, how long of a drive is that? What, about 11 hours to come down to Helotes this weekend?
It's about 7. Well,
okay.
It should be about 7. Like I said, I built a brand new 22-foot porch trailer that weighs 9,000 pounds, so we'll see. It should be about 7 hours. We'll see how that goes. So you're going to let me in the gate if I'm a little later, aren't you?
We'll be there with bells on waving you in. I'm excited to see your new rig. That's going to be pretty cool.
Well, I don't think you'll miss it. Like I said, it's about 8'3" wide, 22-foot long, and it's about 9-foot tall, and it's bright red.
Awesome.
So I'm looking very forward to it. I'm hoping to kind of get down there in time that I might be able to pull off. We normally do like a Friday Night Lights on Friday nights with barbecue superstars, and all I got to do is holler at Daryl, and he'll let me come take it, and so. If I get down there in time, we might do that and just kind of do a, you know, I can do a little walk around or something, go over to see Monty and some of the other guys and just do kind of a little live show.
That'd be fun. We've got some great things lined up Friday night. You know, we love to pamper our cookers. So we've prepared, we've lined up not just one, but two of the world's largest pizzas. I'm talking 8 foot in diameter to feed to all of our cookers on Friday night. So we're going to have a big cookers appreciation party, and that might be a great opportunity to just see everybody in the entire barbecue world.
Hey, there you go, man. I mean, that's it. I mean, you know, I'm going to learn somebody there, Robert Sierra, Monty, I said a lot of guys that, you know, I get to cook every now and then with. I don't get to see much of them, you know, because you guys are so far south from me. You know, I don't get down there a lot. But, yeah, I think that'd be good. I mean, I really am. I'm looking very forward to it. And, like I said, everything goes good this week. And we'll get down there and we'll kind of tear it up and have a good time.
Good. Well, we're excited. I mean, it's certainly going to be a big-time event, without a doubt. We've got some great music lined up, some great food, some great opportunities. But most of all, we've got this big pile of cash. We're just excited about giving away.
And we're up to, what was it, 35,000 now? Is that correct?
$34,500.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. You posted the other day, so... That is a chunk of cash.
that is the largest payout in Texas barbecue history. We have searched and we're just excited to be able to pay that much. You know, that's one thing we decided to do a few years back is just up the game of barbecue in Texas. You know, everybody always does these cook-offs where the money goes to a good cause, and they're all great causes. Well, we decided that the best cause out there is the cooker himself, you know, the person who's going out there every single week and putting their blood, sweat, and tears on the line. Well, it's nice to be able to pay back to the cooker what the cooker has put into it all these years.
Absolutely. Well, and I mean, you know, and like I said, I mean, you know, it is two-way street. I mean, you know, we appreciate, you know, people and you know, companies and organizations and stuff, you know, putting this stuff on because, you know, if there wasn't promoters and stuff out there to do it for us, I mean, you know, we wouldn't be cooking either. So, I mean, you know, that's kind of a two-way street. You know, it takes cookers to have a cook-off, and it takes people like you guys to put on a cook-off for us to have it. So, you know, it works kind of hand-in-hand there. And you know, I think it's a great deal. I think that you know, you and I talked to, you know, here a while back about that, and, you know, it's just a long ways for us, but, I mean, you know, like I said, come down and mix it up with you guys, and I'll donate a little bit of money to the cause down there. I come down that part of the country, but, you know, just, you know, it's that profile stuff like that are a little bit different. You know, that's just one of those things. I mean, you know, that's part of the fun of it. And, I mean, you know, you go down there and you learn a little bit about that end of it, too, because, you know, people do cook different. And, you know, that's part of that sport. I mean, that's part that, you know, that makes it fun. I mean, you know, you learn some different techniques. You taste some different food and stuff like that. And, you know, you get to go down and fellowship. I mean, you know, this weekend we'll get to fellowship with 150 teams.
True.
You know, you don't get to do that a lot.
That's very true. I, you know, H&H had, what, 153, is that right, this past weekend?
Yeah.
And
I mean,
seeing,
you know,
some of
that's
these,
in January. January, they're blowing the doors out. You know, I think Robstown was 83, and then, Hit'em Hold'em was 153, something like that. You guys are going to be 150. I mean, that's three contests. I think that's probably the first three contests in IBCA for the year. And, I mean, you're talking about some big numbers there.
True. You mentioned flavor profiles, and I'm just so it's such a compelling sport. And it's more than just a sport. It's obviously a passion. It's something that drives people. But as a sport, what I personally love about it, as I've started competing myself, is that it's one of those things where you can do everything right, and it still not work out, you know?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know,
I've heard that one.
Yeah, we're just going to start calling you Mr. Six.
funny.
Sorry, but I couldn't resist. I mean, I let it go for a little while. You know, I know it was pretty pretty rough there. You know, when you and I were talking
Ouch.
Earlier in the year. But you know, this
Ouch.
Is kind of a new year. I mean, so you know, you can reflect now.
Wow.
Hey, that's like going to the Royal in the Invitational and hitting an 18th. You know, just a couple of spots out of walking. You know, I might as well just went ahead and been, you know, blast.
Yeah, now my hardest challenge is trying to figure out how to win one of the Western Woods series. That's my goal, just to win one of those, and I'll be happy.
Well, hey, okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you walk the stage at any one of these three events that we're putting on this for this series, you can certainly, and this goes for anybody, can hold their head up high because they have beaten everybody in barbecue. This
yes.
is the – it's not just 150 teams. It's the best 150 teams that are out there.
Yeah.
Well,
I agree.
That's
right.
Great. Well, Monty, you already walked it, and you said you did pretty good the other one, so –
Yes, I did really well, and looking forward to the next one.
Well, so you've had your luck now, I guess. You can pass it on to me a little bit now, since you've already walked in one of them. I mean, you're already there. You know, so you sent some of that, you know, mojo my way now. You know, I need a little bit of it. You know, it'd be good to come down that way, and just like you said, I'm gonna be able to walk and something like that. It'd just be outstanding. I mean, just to get down.
I don't know. You might need to talk to Steve about that. He come to Uvalde first time out that I know of, that I've competed against him, and he beat me in something. So, I don't know.
okay.
even a blind squirrel can find a nut every now and then. Isn't that how it goes?
There you go.
That's true.
So, well, and I mean, you know, profile down that in that part of the country, I mean, are y'all more of a sweet or a heat or – tomato-based or...
Well, I tell you what, I've got some insight into who the judges are going to be at this event. Now, when you're having 150 teams, that means you need somewhere between about 280 to 450 judges. So what I've done is I've gone out and I've got the city of Helotes working hard to pull in people, and we've pulled in people, and we've got people from military bases, from locals in San Antonio, from Helotes, from retirement communities, from alumni associations, from young, from old, from male, female. There is such a cross-section of people that will be judging at this event that it's hard to say that, well, everybody likes sweet or everybody likes spicy or everybody
right.
likes – it's going to be across the board. So come with your best barbecue, whatever that is, and hopefully it will stand the test and make it through, and your name will be the last one called.
Hey, there you go. Well, you know, that's the way it is, man. That's the way it is. So, well, let's go into a little bit of the history with Western Wood and stuff like that, Steve, if you don't mind. I mean, for some of the followers and stuff out there, I mean, we have people listening all across the United States. And, you know, last week we had a bunch of FBA people in, stuff like that. So, you know, some of the people that are not as familiar with IBCA and Western Wood, you know, you guys being, you know, out of Texas and stuff like that, let's go into a little bit of that history and stuff. And kind of go into that and kind of how you guys come up with the concept to do the series and kind of how all that works. How's that?
You bet. Happy to. Western Premium Barbecue Products is the brand name that we go by. The company is W.W. Wood, and we have been around over 28 years. And March, actually, come turn and burn, it'll be 29 years that we've been around. The company was started by Jerry Lawson. Him and his son Ryan still run the company today. It's a family-run, family-owned. And the business has grown. Of course, barbecue as a sport, as an industry, as a passion, has just grown and grown and grown so much. And that's really why we're having this show today, why we're talking, is because there's such a passion behind barbecue. It's a culture as much as it is anything else. And we've seen that culture grow for the past better part of three decades, not just on the competition side, but in the backyards. Backyards of America, people just wanting to know more and more about how to become better at what they do, at how to put a better brisket out and serve better ribs and whatever else you can cook over fire. Of course, barbecue's been around forever, you know, ever since what man first lit fire and slapped a brontosaurus over it. It's just a matter of getting better and better and better, and that's what we do at Western Premium Barbecue Products is we try and find the best way to make everything we do better every single day. Now, our primary products that we put out are our wood products, our barbecue fuel products. We've got about 39 different SKUs of products, most of those being wood, ranging in size from those coin-sized chips to the fist-sized chunks to those mini logs that you put that are, 8 to 10 inches that you put inside those big offset smokers and just make that absolute Texas delicacies, as we call them, all those barbecue treats. And those products are sold nationwide in almost 50,000 retail outlets. That's how far our products reach from coast to coast, north to south, east to west, and you can find them just about everywhere. We are the world's largest producer of barbecue wood. There are quite a few people out there that do produce wood, and we are larger. We produce more than all of them. Not quite all of them put together, but certainly than any one of them that are out there. Barbecue is fun. It's more than something we just do as a job. It's something that we do personally at home. I do compete a little bit, so does Ryan, so do a lot of other people in the company. We sponsor teams. We certainly do believe in competition barbecue. We wholeheartedly believe that competition in all of its forms, but what competition does is it brings out the best in anything. You know, when you compete, you want to be better than the guy next to you. You want to be better than all the guys that are out there, all the men and women that are competing against you. So you do all of those different things. You practice your passion. You work on it. You try different things to become better at it. And all of those things that all these competition cooks that are doing to become better at barbecue, that's exactly what all the backyard people in the world want to know. They want to know how to make a better brisket, how to make a better rack of ribs. So what we do at Western is channel all of that information from all of these pitmasters from these competitions into the backyards of America by sponsoring and supporting events, by sponsoring and supporting different activities that share information and share knowledge with everybody so we can all get better at barbecue. That's why we're such huge believers in competition. Now, as far as doing this series goes, well, that's kind of a fun little story. We combined a number of goals, Ryan and myself did one day, and those goals were to increase the payouts, to reward the cookers that are working so hard, that are delivering to us what we need, to reward them financially for their efforts. In combination with that, to make it the biggest and the best and the most cooker-friendly and the most desirable cook-off and cook-off series possible. We worked with IBCA as far as lining up process for doing this. It's something, as far as the series goes, something that had never been done through IBCA as far as doing a series. The challenge that stood with us was how do you build points? We wanted to reward cookers for not just the outcome of a couple of products, but really their consistency in barbecue, which is something that is unique about the points chase. The points chase in our series rewards a cooker not just for placing in the top 10 or top 15 places in any one meat category, but for how far a cooker progresses through the judging rounds, the four different tables, the four different judging rounds that you would get before getting one of those top 15 places. So we still reward each of the cookers for placing in the top 15, but we also reward each of these cookers in the series for how well they do, how many rounds they make it through in each of these competitions. It's kind of an elaborate process, and we defined it all out and found out a great way to do it. We knocked it around. We had a whole bunch of people look at it and dissect it and come up with the best possible way to still maintain a couple of things. We can still maintain the double-blind judging that IBCA is so proud of and such a stickler for, one of their cornerstones. We were still able to maintain the double-blind judging, plus we were able to institute something new, which is being able to let cookers know how well they did at an individual cook-off. You tie all that together and you stretch it over not just one but three different events. You add in a big pile of cash, not just at the tail end, but at each of the steps along the way, all three of the cook-offs, and you end up paying out over $100,000, and next thing you know, you've got something that is just the biggest thing that we've ever done in Texas barbecue, and Western is just more than proud to be able to be a part of it and help deliver it to every single cooker that's out there.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and that's great. And see, and I think that you're in a very being able to track all of that, and, you know, for all the cookers and stuff like that, think that's a huge step because, I mean, that's one thing that, you know, I hear a lot about. And, you know, of course, you know, I cook in different sanctioned bodies and stuff like that. So you see that, and, you know, and that's the one thing that, you know, everybody always asks, you know, with IBC or Lone Star or something like that. You know, it's like, you know, you have to tell. I mean, you know, if you're not in the top 10 or 15, you know, it's, you don't know where you were at in that contest. And so, you know, you guys kind of being the forefront there and kind of breaking through that, you know, that might be a way to implement something, you know, down the road here to where, you know, all the cookers will kind of know where they're at in a cook-off because, you know, everybody wants to know. I mean, you know, everybody hates to be that the dead-ass last, you know, in a contest, but, you know, it kills you with anticipation to know where you were at in the contest and how well you done if you're on the right, you know, if you're on the right track or, you know, you need to completely change things up and, you know, and all of that. I mean, even when I started, I mean, you know, if you didn't hit, I mean, you know, you being a new guy, you don't know. I mean, you don't know, like, well, you know, was my barbecue good? Was it bad? Was it what they're looking for? You don't have a clue on that end of it, and it makes it really tough. And, you know, you get fortunate, you know, like we were fortunate. I mean, we hit our second contest, and so, you know, we kind of had something to kind of go by. And I like that ideal, and like I said, I've kind of looked over some of that point structure and stuff, you know, because you get like a point for, you know, for a successful turn, and then you get, you know, you get so many points for, like I said, you know, moving on to the next round on your tables and stuff like that. And then that's kind of a neat deal, and you're tracking everybody doing that over the series, over three contests to top that off. So,
absolutely. It's kind of the best of a number of different worlds. We looked at a number of different sanctioning bodies, and I love what IBCA, Lone Star, Gulf Coast, what they're doing. I love what KCBS is. There's also some things that we don't care for about each of those and all of those. And sure, all we're trying to do is find a, you know, a better way, maybe not the best way, but certainly a better way of improving what we've got, what we have to work with. And like you said, the information of knowing how well you did, whether you won or not, is not as important as knowing where you are, what type of gauge and guide to go with. You know, if you didn't win, well, how well did you do? And that is one thing that KCBS has really done a fantastic job of. At the same time, the process in which they judge, where it's just one table judging and one table, one team, you know, one 5-6-person team worth of judges, that's one thing that we do prefer about IBCA and Gulf Coast and Lone Star, is that you've got something that is much more cultural and much more regional. You know, what they love about barbecue here, meaning the Helotes area, compared to the Panhandle or California or Louisiana or the Carolinas. Barbecue is so cultural and regional that what someone might consider good barbecue here may not be great barbecue somewhere else or good barbecue somewhere else. And that's one Absolutely. Thing that we do love about these organizations that pull that have these cattle call style judges, where you pull from locals. It involves the public, and that's why we love the idea of being able to blend a ranking system with being able to pull from locals and people in the community.
Well, and that is, and I mean, you know, and what you touched on there is a great thing, and I mean, you know, it's kind of where you know, KBTS has gone into, you know, looking at their judges and stuff like that and on that end of it. But, you know, and that's always been a problem. I mean, and we've seen it even at the Royal. I mean, you had a table of six judges. They threw on Briscoe, I think it was an invitational, all six boxes on that table. The low score was a 175. They were all in the top 21 or 23 teams in there in Briscoe. I mean, all six of those teams, including the 180, was thrown out of that. And so, mm-hmm. you know, they throw a 180, and, I mean, so they're throwing high numbers all the way across there. And, I mean, you know, everybody would love to be on that table. I mean, don't get me wrong. But, you know, and then you have the other side of it, that you've got another table over there, and they're all throwing, you know, 28, 29, stuff like that, and, you know, they're sinking you. And, you know, so, you know, there is that factor, and that is something that, matter of fact, we were talking about it, 2 weeks ago was Amy Hayes, Stan Hayes from OBR wife. We were talking about some mm-hmm. of that. As far as, you know, having the locals come in and stuff like that. And I have found out, I mean, you know, even as much as I cook in all the different areas and the different thinking bodies, it is kind of funny for the most part. I'm going to say always. But, you know, you kind of find something that kind of works. And, you know, we've gotten kind of lucky that, you know, you've kind of blended it to where, you know, we've had calls in Austin. We've had calls in Amarillo, Texas. We've had calls in Las Vegas, Nevada. You know, and so you kind of find something that does kind of hit all those different little areas. And, you know, you may not win, but, you know, you kind of hang out there in that top 10 or top 15 or something like that, and that works. And so what's really astounding about that is just what you said. You bring people off the street. You bring them in there. And when you hit time and time again in those different areas with all these local people, it's kind of a wild phenomenon that works, because it is. You guys down there, the way y'all cook are a lot different than what we cook up here. I mean, that's absolutely correct.
So I love that for this particular cook-off, we can involve up to 450 people in the community on top of the 150 head cooks and all of their team members. I mean, that's a lot of people to involve in an event that centers around barbecue. And for a barbecue company, that's the end game, right, to involve as many people as possible into the sport, the culture, the passion that we know as barbecue.
Absolutely. And that's the deal is, I mean, you know, it's been said, and I've heard it a few times, and I'm really starting to believe this. I mean, as much involvement and stuff as I've gotten into it in the last few years, is that, you know, they talk as barbecue as the next NASCAR out there. And I think that they're right about that, because, I mean, to me, there's nothing bigger, because it crosses all those domains that, you know, things like NASCAR, so like that don't. I mean, you know, you've got children involved in it. I mean, you know, there's lots of kids' cues. I mean, family, your wife. I mean, everybody loves to cook and stuff like that. And so that brings that platform, and it's so family-based in a lot of this stuff that it just, you know, it brings so many more people together.
That's so true. You know, I mean, I completely agree. I drive, and I drive pretty quickly. Sometimes I drive a little faster than the speed limit if I'm trying to get to the office, trying to get down to the Whittier. But I've never driven at 200 miles an hour. I've never driven at NASCAR. I've never driven one of those fancy cars with the numbers on the side. But I tell you what, just about anybody can barbecue, and everybody eats. That's the big difference between NASCAR and barbecue, is that it can involve so many more people. Yeah.
And that's the deal. I've been to contests where, you know, the guys, they've drug up their little square barbecue grill from the house, throw some charcoal in there, and I've seen some of them guys do really well. I mean, they may go over and just pick one category. You know, but, yeah, I mean, they can come out there. Everybody wants to socialize. Everybody, you know, when you say barbecue, the first thing everybody thinks of is it's a party. It's a get-together. It's, you know, it's a family thing. I mean, and so that ties it together so much more than all the other sports and stuff out there that's out there. I mean, it's just it's very unique, and you can share it with everybody. And hell, everybody loves to eat, that's why the Food Network and things like that. I mean, that's why them places have done so well, is because, you know, everybody loves food and stuff like that, and they love different cultures and stuff like that. And, you know, it's like, everybody talks about Texas. And I'll tell you, doing this radio show, there's two things that always comes across since I've been involved in this, is that, number one, Texas is king for brisket. Everybody wants to know how to cook a good Texas brisket. I get asked that so many times. There's so many discussions about that on the radio. And then the number two thing that everybody says is like, how the hell do y'all have so many big contests? And, you know, my response has always been to people is that, you know, on a given weekend competing in the state of Texas, you've got 300 to 400 teams competing almost anymore. And, I mean, that's huge. And, you know, people in Tennessee and you know, all over, I mean, you know, they're just mesmerized that you've got that many people out there cooking and competing and just a sheer number. I mean, because you look at IBK, number one, it's the number two sectioning body in the world behind KBTS, and probably three-quarters of those contests come out of Texas.
So, it's a lot of barbecue. It's a lot of people barbecuing. It's a lot of people barbecuing every single weekend, too. I mean, you look at these cookers that are going out, they're not picking two or three competitions a year. They're picking two or three per month, sometimes more than that. You got guys that are doing 20, 30, 40 weekends per year. They're out there cooking and competing. That's a lot of
meat. Those this year, and it is. It's a killer. But, you know,
What we like to do is when you are going to go out and spend your weekend and spend your hard-earned money doing one of these competitions, when it's one of our competitions that we have anything to do with, whether it's something that we're hosting or putting on or sponsoring or being a part of in any way, shape, or form, we like to make it better. We like to make it more enjoyable. We like to make it more rewarding. We like to make it more easy to attend, to have a better time when you're at. And that's at the end of the day, that's really what we're all about. I mean, you know, with all of our products – yes, we're proud of them, and yes, we want everybody to use them. But more important than that, we just want people to get out and cook. Because eventually, when you cook, you're going to start using some different things. Yeah, you'll use our products. That's fine. But, you know, we use all the products we possibly can. And whatever we can't use, we sell the rest. We're kind of like Blue Bell ice cream there, you know.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, and like I said, I mean, you know, and that is, and I mean, and like I said, I mean, y'all have brought a lot to barbecue. And, you know, it's even like me. I mean, you know, I use applewood a lot, you know, for my pork and my chicken. And if it wasn't for you guys, I mean, you know, every now and then I can get around an orchard or something like that around here, and I can get a hold of some applewood. But if being consistent, like I said, I mean, you're cooking 2023 contests. If I need it, you know, the great thing about it is even in Plainview, Texas, where there's 20,000 people, I can walk into my Walmart and y'all's wood is in that store and I can usually pick it up right there. And, you know, and so, you know, that goes a long way too. And you guys have done a lot for the community and for barbecue, and that's what we need. I mean, it takes all of that to make it go around, and it's going to take all of it to make it the best sport out there. And that's what I want to see. I want to see that, You know, one of these days it may be the number one sport out there. You know, it's like, you know, me growing up, I grew up in New Mexico and stuff like that. We rodeoed and stuff like that. You know, to us, that was the number one sport. And, that was part of the reason why I got into barbecue. I was too old to do that kind of stuff. That stuff kind of hurts. You know, barbecue don't hurt so bad other than, you know, a little bit of pride here and there, you know.
You know, that's the whole thing is that, you know, you're not going to get thrown off your pit typically, you know, and you're not going to crash your pit into the wall, and you know, there's a whole bunch of things that you're probably not going to do with your pit that you might do with other sports.
That's right.
It
I mean,
can
you
involve
not anyways. Yeah, and that's the deal.
It can involve so many more people, and that's one thing that we do like to do is make our products available to as many people as possible. You know, Walmart has truly been a blessing for us, as has Academy and Cabela's, Bass Pro, Kroger. They've all been great to us in that they're willing to experiment and let us put some new flavors and new products out on the market. You know, this past year we put out peach and orange wood, both of those. And peach has really taken off. Orange is doing great. Orange has got some really unique flavors, but peach has just exploded. And, you know, you mentioned apple. Cherry is the wood that we can hardly keep in stock because people are burning it so much. They love it.
Cherry is a good wood. I mean, you know, we always, you know, where I come from, cherry was always more of a, you know, waterfowl, stuff like that. It was always, you know, for like wild game, stuff like that when I was growing up. And it is a great wood. And don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, I just always, there is nothing better to me. When you wake up in the morning, you throw some apple wood in a pit, you get that apple wood smoke, that sweet smell out of it. I don't know. There's not much better there to me than that right there. And
but you know what you mentioned earlier about not having an apple orchard in my backyard is kind of what rang through when you were speaking earlier, and that's true. Yeah. There's access to different flavors of wood, different species rather of wood, that people don't have. And that's one thing that we're pretty excited to be able to deliver is, yeah, you know, if you've got a whole bunch of mesquite or you've got oak or you've got hickory or pecan, well, great, use it, burn it, love it. I think that's awesome. But if you want to try some different flavors that you get from different species of wood, that's where we come in. If you want to try some different fruit woods mixed with what you have, you know, it's for people that haven't done much with different species of wood, I like to explain it as it's very similar to the spices you have on your shelf. If you want to cook the same thing every time, you want that consistency. If you want to mix it up, you try different spices and flavors. Wood smoke is nothing more than that. It's just it's another layer of spice, another layer of flavor that you can put into your product that you cook. And it's fun to mix and mash and try different things. I've learned so much about cooking since I've been in this industry. It's blown my mind how much knowledge is still out there that I've yet to learn.
Oh, no, absolutely. And that is exactly right. I mean, you know, you do. I mean, it is one of those sports that, I mean, you learn something every time that you cook. You know, whether it's a position on the pit or it's the wood or it's temperature or, you know, seasoning. I mean, there's so many different variables that you can go by there that you know, that changes. I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, I'm having to learn a pit right now. I mean, the thing's brand new. I've cooked on it about 3 or 4 times now. It's a reverse flow. I've always had an offset, and so, mm-hmm. you know, I've been learning the ins and outs of moving tuning plates and and all that end of it, and I think I finally got it to where I like it. But, you know, even the smoke flavor, stuff like that, I mean, it's different. I mean, the consistency is different. I mean, there's a night and day difference between my old pit and this pit. And, you know, there's things I love about it, and then there's things that, you know, I'm nervous about because we've done so well with the old pit is that, you know how it is. I mean, you know, that's kind of like, you know, mm-hmm. your lucky dirty sock, I mean, at a cook-off. I mean, two things jump out there without that lucky dirty sock, and you're hoping that, you know, everything's great. But, I mean, you know, that's the other side of this. It's pretty super. There's a lot of superstition in all this cooking stuff too, because you know there's things that you know your favorite hat and stuff like that. You start winning, you wear it, always things go good. You don't have it one weekend, things go bad. It's like crap.
You know that's true. The cook-offs that I've promoted and that I've hosted over the years, and I guess I've been doing this now for about 4 years, 5 years. One of my favorite things to do, I absolutely love doing this, is, you know, from a promoter side of things, most of the work is building up to the event. And Friday is the big crazy day, but by the time Saturday comes around, you know, you get the judge officiating team running everything, and the world slows down on Saturday. My favorite thing to do is grab that grand champion trophy thing on the wall, whatever it is, whatever the grand champion is going to take home, put that in the little golf cart and go riding around. And showing it to people and talking to people. Oh, I love some people. Now, you talk about superstition. Some people, they want to pose with it. They want to rub it. They want to touch it. Some people don't want to see it. They want it to be far away from them. They want to.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well,
that is my favorite point.
Yeah. You know, it's like me. I mean, you know, if I get to a cook-off and I've had a good day, at the end of it, I mean, nothing's screwed up. Everything looks good. Everything tastes good. Hell, I might as well sit in camp. Bad things are fixing to happen. But if I had one of them days, I mean, it's rough, but I mean, you know, you work your butt off the whole time, and you're really skeptical about, you know, anything going right for the whole day, or, you know, even if the deal, then, you know, heck, we really do pretty good. And, you know, so, yeah, I mean, I never thought of myself being a very superstitious guy, but, since I've gotten into barbecue, I've gotten a little bit more about it. And, you know, if you feel good about a contest at the end of the day, it's a bad deal for me. Loaded up.
Yeah, I've heard that from other people. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you feel good about what you turned in, that's usually when you never hear your name. But if you're like, oh, great, I can't believe I did that. Well, I guess we'll turn something in anyway. That's usually when your name gets called. I don't know.
I had a buddy one time. He's the president of the Panhandle Pit up here in IBCA in our area. And, you know, like I said, I mean, my first year we're cooking and stuff, and, you know, I don't know a lot about what's going on, stuff like that. So, you know, I'm always curious for people to try food, stuff like that. And because I judge everything on my cook off of the look on people's faces, especially like my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law cooks with me. He's my official taste tester, and he turned in my tricks. And so, I mean, I don't taste any food before I turn it in. He tastes it. I can look at the look on his face, and I know whether I'm okay or I'm like we're fixing to have a bad day or whatever. But I'll never forget Toby coming over and he tried to rip, and he just kind of like, yeah, well, you know, it's I guess it's all right. It's a little tough, blah blah blah. And I think we got a second or first that day or something like that. I looked at him. He said, hell, he said, I knew. He said, when I said that, he said, you were going to have a good day. And I said, well, I said, I just need you to come back every weekend that we're cooking. I said, just do the same part. You'll be good. I appreciate that. He's like, I ain't doing it again. He said, that cost me money this week. I said, hey, that's what I want to hear, buddy. So it is. I mean, it's one of those deals. It's kind of like your favorite lure fishing. You know, you get your confidence in that lure fishing, mm-hmm. and you'll catch all the fish in the world. You lose that lure or you don't use that lure and you don't seem to have the same results. And, you know, that's one of those things. I mean, it is kind of funny. But then you get the other side of it. To be successful is you need to be able to use those different lures and, you know, different flavor profiles, stuff like that, and be successful. And, you know, I relate to a lot of it being like fishing. And, you know, that's just one of those things.
That's true. I mean, I would consider myself living proof that luck certainly rules out. I was fortunate enough to get a fourth place out of some really great teams on in ribs and was just tickled to death. And I was told by so many people, well, you've got that whole beginner's luck thing going on. I said, great, I'll stay a beginner for my entire life. But one of the things that I love about the series that we're doing is not so much guys like me that just, you know, could throw a dart at the wall and maybe hit something, maybe not. But what the series does is it truly rewards people that are consistently good. Not just the guys who get really good one time and they have a great showing, but if you can do really well over and over and over again, that's what this series will certainly recognize and reward for it.
Absolutely. No, I mean, and you know, and like I said, I mean, that is a good thing, and I mean, because it is good for the guys that do that. I mean, because it does. It takes a special set of skills to be consistent. You know, it's like Monty. I mean, that's one of the most consistent Texas cooks. You know, him and Ronnie Wade are probably the two most consistent cooks I know in Texas right now. And I mean,
true.
You know, it's just you know, it's bam, 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 and you know, that takes it. That takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of dedication, and it takes a lot of skill to be able to pull something like that off. And I mean, it's not just when you start getting to that level, it's not a luck thing. I mean, you know, you have figured out something that all of us want. You know, we all want to learn. We all want to figure that out. I mean, we all want to be there. And some people have that gift, and you know, that's a great thing. And you know. And so, you know, you just want them to kind of rub some of that luck off over here, you know. But it is. I mean, it does take a lot. And, I mean, you know, it's kind of a funny deal. I mean, I've cooked with Bronny several times, and, I mean, it's like him. I mean, that man is unbelievable. You know, that's kind of what I was saying earlier. I mean, it don't seem to really matter where he goes. He does well. I mean, whether it's Jack or IBCA or if it's Kansas City or whatever, I mean, you know, he does well in it, and, you know, he's figured out a profile, and it's very consistent. I don't know that if he changes it every time or if he's doing the same thing every time. I mean, you know, that's the secret. So,
well, I'm sure he'd be more than happy to share all of the secrets. I'm sure he'd tell you exactly what he's doing.
I'm sure he would, you know. And, yeah, it's like last year, we were standing up here. We had a big contest up here in the Panhandle. I think we had 105 teams. And, you know, there was a lot of local guys and stuff, and you know, they were all kind of mouthing. Some of them's like, well, you know, we're going to have a good day, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, I'm standing there in the cook's meeting, and I caught Michelle out of the corner of my eye. And I was like, yeah, boys, the whole game has just changed.
Uh-huh.
And, I looked at him and I said, you guys, you might need to step up your game a little bit this weekend. They're like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, I said, it looks like the weights are here. I said, I don't know if both of them are cooking or one of them are cooking, but I said, that is a game changer. And I said, it's not a big deal. And I said, you never know. I said, because I said, that man goes everywhere and does well. And I said, just because he's coming out to West Texas don't mean that he can't cook. And, he won a grand champion out here. You know, that day there, he walked once or twice, and that's what I told him. I said, don't ever go up against him thinking that, he's in your backyard now that, things will change, because it don't. That man has figured it out. He's got a lot of experience at it, and I said he's good about it. And, the same thing with Ronnie, and the one thing I've always appreciated, Ronnie don't come off cocky, don't come off, arrogant or anything like that. I mean, you can walk up to the man, you can talk to him. I mean, and that's the other thing about this and barbecue, a lot of that is that, you don't have a lot of that. I mean, you'll come across it every now and then, but, there's just about everybody will, be willing to help. They'll talk to you. I mean, if you are having problems and you're new or something like that, they'll give you some tips or, some things to try, stuff like that. And there's not many other sports that you can walk up to somebody, in something like that and be able to talk to those kind of people. And, sure. I think that's also a unique thing that we have. And because, most of the time you don't meet strangers and stuff like that. I mean, they're all good people. And, it's like everything else. I mean, there's always, there's always something. But, out of the 40-50 contests that I've even done, I mean, everybody's friendly. I mean, like I said, it's like family. I mean, they'll welcome you in and I said, if you're having a problem, something like that, they're willing to help.
That's true. I think you said the key word there, which is family. And it's closer than just a bunch of buddies that you know. It really is like a family. And that's truly the way people treat each other. I mean, yeah, there can be dysfunction from time to time, but we all get along. We all find a way to see it through and make it happen, which is just have a good quality experience any given weekend. Now, if it was something that you did that you were in it for only the competition or only for the money, well, then you're not going to get very far. You're certainly not going to make any money, and you're doing it for the wrong reasons, in my opinion. One of the things we say at Western is, there's no wrong way to barbecue. However, there's always a better way to barbecue it, and the best way to do it is with friends and family and people that you care about. That's really what's most important.
No, that is exactly right. I mean, because, like I said, I mean, you can go to those kind of people, and, I mean, like I said, I mean, they welcome you in. I mean, they're there, and like I said, I mean, we've just met tons and tons of great people out there, and, you look at it. I mean, even in your regions and stuff like that. I mean, your toughest competitors and stuff like that. The guys that you want, to do well, and the guys that you want to go in there and you beat. I mean, you'll be the first one to cheer them on every time they take it up and walk. I mean, even if they're your biggest competition. I mean, you'll clap and you're happy for them to win. And you don't get that in a lot of sports.
That's true. And you can always tell the competitors that stick around and wait until the very end, regardless of whether they won or lost. If they did not take, even if they did take grand champion, if they took that or didn't take that, they always stick around to congratulate the other competitors. It's like, well, I may have won grand and I may have won two first place, but I took a second place in the other category and I'm going to go shake the hand of the guy that beat me in the third category or whatever. If you took dead ass last, you still want to go say congratulations to the people that did well, because it's part of it. Part of it is, yes, you want to congratulate the people that beat you, but it's really, you want to congratulate them because they did well and they're part of the tribe. They're part of your family. They're part of your circle.
And, and that's something that, like I said, I mean, you don't see that in a lot of other sports. I mean, you see it as kids. I mean, back when you used to go out there and shake hands, on a baseball field or something like that, or, and those were good things. I mean, that's what needed to happen. I mean, and, You know, it's like I tell everybody, you know, Friday night, stuff like that, and we'll kind of go out and kind of hang out with everybody. And, you know, Saturday is business. And, you know, usually my business starts about midnight Saturday night. I mean, I get myself kind of prepped Friday evening, then, you know, we kind of hang out with everybody. It's business Saturday. And then, you know, like I said, I mean, I'll be the first one to congratulate you at the end of the day because, like I said, I mean, it is. I mean, it's a tough deal. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand that until they've done it, how tough it is to compete, you know, what it takes to compete. It's not just a money thing. There's lots of dedication that goes into it. There is lots of skill. There's lots of prep work, you know, and there is lots of strategy and stuff like that in it. You know, it is a very time-consuming sport. It's, you know, it does take money and stuff like that to do it, but, you know, to think, you know, that you just go in there and you just throw something on the smoker or on the grill, stuff like that, and you grill and, you know, you're good. It's not. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into being successful to cook like that. And, you know, there's lots of dedication. And you know, that's the other side of that, too. It's that, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, to what degree that you go into it. And, I mean, you know, even like us, I mean, you know, we practiced a little bit. We went out, we cooked, and, I mean, we cooked a contest, and my first contest, and, I mean, I was wore out. I mean, I spent all night at that pit, and, you know, it gives you a whole other appreciation to, you know, what those guys do. And, you know, the ones that are very successful, you can only imagine to the degree of stuff that they're doing. Like Monty.
It's true.
Monty's been awful quiet, by the way, too.
He's probably thinking about this coming weekend. He's probably gearing up, getting mentally cooped up and
quiet.
Excited.
I'm just thinking about, when you said practice, I'm going, okay, I got to make sure I do it on my They No, you're not kidding, because last weekend, we left Robstown, had to come home, called my wife on Sunday. I told her, I said, look, we're judging chicken this weekend. And I rolled in Sunday morning. Well, actually, I came in Saturday night, prepped the chickens, got everything done. Sunday, we were practicing chickens. And then she says, okay, I like this one better, you know, because I use my kids a lot for judging. Because kids, for some reason, they have a real honest opinion. So they're real good about telling you what they like, what they don't like. And then Wednesday, we ran it again. And then Friday morning, we took off the cook-off, and there you go. And it worked.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, you're right about that with kids.
Yeah, you have to do it. I mean that's just how I do it. I mean, I practice all the time. I mean, I'm trying to get to that level that you have to be able to compete everywhere you go and what judges will like and kids will tell you. And my favorite part is kids. They will tell you the honest truth. And I love using them as my judges. And we have a birthday party. Oh, yeah, we're bringing out test trays. That's the fun
I love
part.
That.
Yeah, they will tell you the honest truth, and I love it.
I'm over here taking notes right now. Hang on.
Yeah, I know you are. I don't want to hear that, Steve.
You know, like I said, I mean, my daughter's very involved in, you know, barbecue and stuff like that. She's done about 5 or 6 contests and stuff now, maybe more than that. And, you know, and I really hadn't thought about it like that, Monty. I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, Lexi's always very, you know, she likes it, she hates it, you know, and I hadn't really thought about that. I mean, she eats barbecue probably more than, you know, anybody else in the family with me. And, well, you know, like I said, I mean, it's like today. I mean, I did some brisket and I did some ribs and you know, she got on to me a little bit ago because I was in there getting some brisket and she's like, well, why are you eating all of that? And I'm like, well, no, I mean, it's just something. I mean, you know, it's a new pit and, you know, I'm trying it and I actually sent it today. Actually, I had a pretty decent cook and, you know, I was kind of happy, you know. And you know how it is. I mean, when you're trying something new and you're messing around and, you're on a new pit and stuff like that, and you're tweaking things.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the first few cooks, you're like, well, okay, shit. Now what the hell do I do? And it's not that, you know, it's a bad pit or anything like that. It's just that you hadn't cooked on it enough. You don't know enough about it. You don't know where the sweet spot in that pit is. And, you know, where you want to put that brisket, you know, or that rack of ribs, stuff like that. And, you know, so you go into playing and sliding around and twisting. And
timing changes.
Absolutely. You know, and that's the thing about it.
So
I mean, you're exactly right about that.
I'm so banked on to what I do every weekend, how it works, you know, no matter the temperature or what have you. You know, there's a few adjustments you got to make. You know, it depends if it's 30 degrees or 90 degrees, but it's the minute change. But you cook enough that you learn those changes, and that's it. I mean, you just figure it out and cook it.
I run spreadsheets. You know, and, you know, that's where I'm at right now. Is, I mean, it's so new that, you know, the first time I cooked on them was December the 22nd, and it's so new that I'm having to go back and, you know, recalculate what I'm doing and stuff. And, you know, even colors and stuff like that have changed between the old pit and the new pit. You know, where, you know, I had the sweet spot, you know, in that nice, pretty mahogany-looking rib. My ribs are a little darker right now, and so, you know, I'm going to have to change, you know, when I'm wrapping and stuff. And, you know, it's like, damn. You know, but there's things I like about it, too. I mean, you know, I cooked some ribs today. It was about a 5.5-hour cook. And, you know, at a contest, that's a great thing. I mean, that just means there's a little more sleep there. You know, if you get your brisket wrapped and stuff like that, you know, you can kind of cruise a little bit there for a while. And so I'm sitting there like, oh, man, 5.5 hours? Hell, that's I might get another 30 minutes over here or there.
Heck yeah.
So, you know, because like I said, I mean, my first year I did, my first year competing, I did 18 contests, and I didn't sleep a wink. I mean, you know, I lived at the back of the pit. You know, up in our part of the world, you know, it is pretty cold. And, you know, we started out, in March, and I'll never forget, it was snowing and crap, and we'd gone about 90 miles. It was our second contest I'd ever cooked, and, you know, so I really didn't have a clue. I had kind of my ideals and some of my brining techniques that the first contest didn't go so well. And so it just so happened it's snowing and stuff, so I ended up like 1.5 hours late to this contest for when I planned on being there. And so I'm brining my chicken and stuff like that, doing what I need to do, and it's cold as crap. And I'm sitting out there that night, I've got my coveralls on, and I mean, before it's all over with, the girls are at the motel, and I'm almost underneath the firebox, it's so daggum cold. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I'm not so sure about this. You know, this may not be what it's cracked up to be here. And I had and you guys probably know him, an old guy named Royce Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And he came by the next morning. And they said, well, he said, how was your chicken? I said, it was done, I can say that. And he tried a piece of chicken. He said, well, he said, boys, I'll tell you something. He said, there ain't nothing wrong with chicken. I said, really? He said, nope. He said, that's good chicken. They come back for ribs. He said, I might be able to help you a little bit on ribs. I said, well, I'd really appreciate that, Roy. He said, I'll give you a couple tips. And he did. And that day, we beat him in chicken, and I thought, well, I'll be damned. And, of course, we didn't do anything ribs. But I kind of took what he said, and I come home, and I cooked that next weekend and kind of practiced a little bit, took what he taught me and what little I had and flavor profile stuff, and I went to the next contest, and we won first place in ribs. And I thought, well, son of a bitch.
Wow.
You know, and you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, but, man, you talk about cold. I was really debating about it. I thought, you know, I may be more of a fair-weather barbecuer. Yeah, I sit out in the cold a lot at home, but, you know, you can walk inside. And but,
that's,
you know,
right,
in a competition, I mean, if you're burning a stick burner, you don't go inside. And, you know, the thing I learned about it was that the closer you are to that firebox, you know, when that firebox cools off, you know, that I need to throw some wood on it. And that was my perfect thing. And you know, I do have a, I have learned the art of a guru a little bit, and I have used it to my, to my my favorite real cold venues where I can get a little bit of sleep because of it. But you know, that's just one of the things you learn. But you know, if it's nice and stuff outside, I mean, you can sit outside and enjoy the weather. You know, I don't mind throwing wood at a, at a pit, you know, every now and then. And you know, that's part of the enjoyment of it, to be honest. And but man, if
well,
it's
keep
cold
throwing
outside,
wood. Throw as much wood as possible. I say keep throwing as much wood as possible. Burn it all. We'll make more.
I know you will. I know you will. Like I said, I mean, we use a lot of it, and you know, I burn oak normally, but you know, you got to understand. I mean, it's like up here, and I mean, of course, Monty knows. I mean, he came up here last year. There ain't any trees burning up here. I mean, so, you know, all of our wood, even like my oak and stuff, it comes from down the hill country. And because there's a little bit of mosquito around here. Of course, I'm not much of a mosquito guy, but, you know, unless you want to go over and cut the neighbor's tree down or something like that, you just, you don't have a lot. And like I said, I mean, so, you know, oak, you know, it's fairly available. I mean, we can get it up here. I mean, but to give you an idea, if you were to buy oak in Plainview, Texas, they're going to charge you $400 a cord.
Wow.
You go down in y'all part of the world, it's, you know, $130, you know, or so a cord, $100 a cord, $400 a cord. Well, you don't burn a whole hell of a lot of damn wood because that gets kind of expensive. And, you know, that is for gurus and stuff like that. They do come in a little handier because it will save you a lot of money in your pocketbook. But, you know, I can say this. I can take y'all's apple wood, and I can put it in a pit. And, I mean, I'm not kidding you. That apple wood will raise my temperature anywhere from 30 to 50 degrees, generally, when I'm burning it. It lasts pretty well, and it burns hot.
Are you burning the mini logs, or are you burning the chunks?
Usually the chunks around here is about all we can find. I mean, that's pretty much all that anybody carries around here. I'd love to have the mini logs. But,
you
know, in our area, do what?
You guys have Academy stores up there. They carry the Academy and Bass Pro both carry the mini logs.
We have an Academy in Lubbock, but even them, for the most part, what I see in there in Apple, so like it's usually the chunks. I don't see a lot of the mini logs, and I'd burn a lot more of it if I would, but, you know, and that's just one of those things. I mean, you know, it happens, and, but, you know, like I said, I mean, I can even throw those chunks in there. I mean, I can buy a couple of bags of apple wood, you know, spend $14-$15, whatever it is, and, you know, I can do all my ribs and chicken and everything on it, and, I mean, like I said, and it will increase the temperature, even in a big old offset. I mean, it's amazing how much that temperature will come up in that, and, you know, and like I said, if I get into a crush or something like that, you know, I've got a brisket that's stalled or something like that, you know, I'll even do it then. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's wrapped. I mean, I'll throw that apple in there, and I mean, I'll crank the temp up a little bit, and, you know, it'll pull it out for me sometimes. So,
well, I think one difference with our product that we put out, our wood products that we put out, that makes us different from other wood suppliers out there, certainly the guy that you're buying, you know, wood from off the side of the road, is we kiln dry all of our wood, whether it's a chip chunk or mini log. If it leaves our plant, it's kiln dried. Now, what that means is we take the core temperature of the wood. We actually have computerized electronic probes in every single batch of wood that is cut, whether it's chunked, whether it's chipped, or whether it's cut into mini logs. We take constant temperature readings that are registered not just with us, but online with USDA and FDA. They can actually monitor the temperature of our wood, and we kiln dry it at over 200 degrees in most cases for just over 2 days. So what you get from that is consistency. You get a consistent moisture content that's going to be somewhere from 18 to 20, 21% at most. And of course, what that does for you is it's going to make it burn the same every single time you use it. It's also going to make it light more easily. I mean, if you're buying wood from the guy from the side of the road, you don't know that much about that wood. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but what I'm saying is for consistency purposes, you don't know how green, how wet, how dry any of that wood may or may not be. And that's,
no, I mean,
that's one
correct.
Thing that you get with our product is the consistency.
Well, like I said, I mean, and that's, you know, yeah, and like I said, I mean, even with the mini logs, I mean, I need to do a little bit more work into that because, like I said, with this new one, with an insulated firebox and everything else,
mm-hmm.
you know, I could probably cut way back on the amount of wood that I burn. But you are right. I mean, you know, most of my wood, like I said, comes from the brownwood area down in there, so a lot of it's live oak. And you don't know. I mean, it could have been sitting there for 6 months. It could have been sitting there for a year. And yeah, I mean, you know, you always tell. I mean, you know, it either burns up. Of course, I mean, the lighter it gets, too, is, you know, always a pretty good gauge for me. You know, I can always tell, you know, how heavy the piece of wood is. It's real heavy, and it's probably pretty green. you know. So you can throw a thing up against a wall and knock out a concrete chunk out of it. You know, it's some good
typically,
old live oak there.
Typically.
You know.
I love it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, like I said, and when I kind of got into that, was it, you know, we brought some of it in. And, I mean, you're out there with a daddy-o-m axe, and you're trying to bust some of that stuff. And, I mean, it's like hitting concrete. And you're thinking, good gosh. That stuff is hard. You give it a little bit of while, and, I mean, it gets a little bit better, you know. And but, yeah, it is. It's always a moving target on that end of it, and it is a little tougher and stuff. So we got another guy that's in here. Well, no, he jumped back out. Dadgummit him. He's been popping in and out all night. It's another one of the barbecue superstars. It's Chris Chadwick. And he'll pop in for a couple of seconds and pop out. And so maybe we'll catch him here in a minute, and we'll chime him in. But, no, I mean, that is it. I mean, and I've always been able to count on that as far as Hell's Applewood. Yeah, I mean, it's always burned very consistently, you know, in my pits and stuff. And like I said, you know, to me there is nothing better than on a Saturday morning having that old apple smoke come out of your stack. You get to smell it. And that puts me in a whole different mood and a whole nine yards with that. So, of course, you guys down there, probably what's the most common wood y'all burn? Post oak?
Post oak is the oak that does go into our oak bags. The most common wood that we sell is hickory. Nationwide, that is number one. Apple is coming up close on second place, Apple's coming up close on second, but right now it's mesquite. So you got hickory and mesquite are the top two flavors nationwide. I think a lot of that with mesquite being second is because it's been around longer than a lot of the fruit woods. But the fastest growing wood right now is not fastest growing in a tree perspective, but fastest selling, fastest increase would be cherry. More people are using cherry this year than they have ever before. I mean, apple is a lot more people using apple than cherry, but more people are using cherry at a quicker rate. They're experimenting with cherry more so than anything else. I would say that is the new up and comer above everything else is cherry wood.
Well, and yeah, and I mean, you know, you go out west especially, you know, I've cooked with some of the people out on the, you know, on the Pacific Northwest, stuff like that, and, you know, that's primarily what they're using. They're using cherry. You know, you'll hear a few of them, they'll run some alder or something like that. But cherry, especially out west, is just, it's just huge. I mean, everybody you talk to is burning cherry wood. And that's kind of, you know, the thing with, like, Georgia and stuff, you know, like what you said about the peach. I mean, you
mm-hmm.
know, all of the people out that way, you know, they relate to peach and hickory, you know, in that part of the world. You know, Georgia, all them, I mean, so much peach. And, of course, I mean, a lot of that had to do with Meyer Nixon, stuff like that.
Sure.
I mean, he really pumped the peach. And peach is not bad wood. I mean, I've cooked with a lot of apricot. There's a lot of apricot wood around here. You know, and it's actually got a little, you know, it's a pretty sweet wood, too. It just does not, to me, have that scent that apple does. That apple, to me, it's just, you know, when you burn apple, it's just mm-hmm. so much more to think than a lot of woods out there. I mean, it's kind of like the mesquite deal. I mean, you know when someone's burning mesquite. I mean, it's just the obvious. And to me, that's the same thing with apple. I mean, I can smell the apple a mile away. I know when they're burning it. I mean, it's just got so much more of a, don't know. It's just a, it's mellow, but it's just, to me, I always put it out as a sweet smell. I don't notice that so much in the peach wood. I don't notice so much of it in cherry. Hickory, yeah, I can, you know, you can tell the difference in hickory and pecan, absolutely. You know, that's another one of those woods that, I mean, you can sure tell someone's burning pecan. And that is a, you know, a great wood, too. It's just, you know, once again, that's an expensive wood, you know, to if you're buying a lot of it.
True.
So, you know,
that's one thing
why,
I didn't,
you know,
I didn't, one of the things I learned in this industry that I had no idea was how similar hickory and pecan are. They're actually the same species of wood. They're just different groups. And that's, again, things I had no idea about. Things you never thought you would know. You know, I'll take that
oh,
category
I didn't
for
know that
200 places.
Really?
Yeah. Pecan and hickory are the same species of wood. They're just under different groups. Now, you start talking about species and phylums and genus and all that stuff, and that's where you lose me pretty quickly. But, yeah, pecan and hickory are I don't want to say the same because they're not, but they are the same species, making them very similar in a lot of characteristics. The way in which they burn, the flavors in which they give off. In fact, we did a taste test. We worked with Foodways, a group called Foodways, and the Meat Science Department at Texas A&M University. They do their barbecue summer camp, and they do their Camp Brisket that they do in January, and they do the barbecue summer camp over the June, July, whenever that is. Working with those guys, we actually did a blind test using chicken breasts and four identical kettle grills, and we had four different species of wood. We had hickory, pecan, oak, and mesquite. Cooking the exact same thing with no salt, no pepper, no spice or seasoning of any kind, just wood smoke, to see, first off, if people could taste the difference between A, B, C, and D, and also if they could choose a favorite of those. And of the plus or minus 100 people in the audience that were tasting, the vote was pretty split between hickory and pecan as being the favorite. It was like 38 was hickory and 37 was pecan. Oak took third place pretty far down. It only had about 12% of the vote, and mesquite took only 2% of the smoke, I mean of the vote. Now, I think the reason for that was you're talking about mesquite on chicken breast. And in my opinion, mesquite goes better with bolder meats, you know, darker red meats, brisket, wild game, things of that sort. I think when you put that on just a plain chicken breast, it probably just overpowered it. But I thought that was absolutely amazing and interesting that so many people picked not just hickory and pecan, but that it was so close together. And now, of course, I understand why, with that being basically the same species of wood.
That is interesting. You know, my first big time, you know, we grew up and, you know, of course, you know, smoked ham, stuff like that, you know, with the kids, stuff like that. But I'll never forget when we went on our honeymoon. I'll never forget this. There was a smokehouse. We went to the Bass Pro Shops. It was a resort that they had down by Branson. It was called Big Cedar Lodge. And they had a smokehouse. Now, I guarantee you, I think it went 50 yards from where our cabin was. And they were burning hickory night and day in that thing. And about every 3 hours, I had to go eat something. The smell that come out of that place was just unbelievable. And the level of smoke that they got into their meats and stuff was just unbelievable. And, you know, I'll never forget that. And like I said, of course, they were burning hickory up there. And, you know, it's kind of a predominant wood in that part of the world. And, you know, it was. I mean, and, you know, it's like just what you said, like pecan. I've got a buddy here who's got a barbecue carryout restaurant. And he started bringing in some pecan a year or so ago. And the first time he smoked his briskets with it, you know, we'd go in there, and of course, we'd pull the points and stuff off of it, and kind of about halfway through the process. And so, you know, there's always, you know, you always sample it and stuff like that. And I told him, I said, man, I said, you're screwing up. I said, I'm not sure that I'm real keen on this pecan on these briskets. And he said, what do you mean? He said, you can't tell the difference. I said, I can tell the difference. And it's a whole different flavor profile on those briskets. I said, it's the only thing that you change. And I said, I don't know that I like it. I said, on chicken and stuff like that, I think it's great. But I'm not so sure that I like it as well on red meat and stuff like that as I would, you know, an oak or something or a hickory or something like that with a pecan. Now, I've kind of gotten used to it with him. but it changed it. And then, you know, back then I told you that, you know, what little I knew about it was that, you know, it really didn't matter what you used. And, you know, but it dang sure does. It'll change the whole flavor profile. I mean, because he didn't change the seasoning or anything else. He changed that wood. And, I mean, it was a complete different deal.
True. And I think what is so fun for me as I'm going through this learning curve of learning more and more about barbecue, how to do it, how to make it better, is experimenting with different types of wood. Not just using pecan or mesquite or apple, but mixing and matching those, blending to them, and at what time in the process. And if you're going to cook a brisket for X number of hours, you use this kind of wood for the first couple hours and then cook it for a long time on this, and then you add some more of that, and it makes a difference. It's subtle differences, but it certainly makes a difference, and not in ways that I ever would have imagined.
Well, yes, and I agree with that. I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, my technique is that I, you know, I'll burn oak. And the nice thing about oak is that, you know, you can burn it for a long time without overpowering the meat. I mean, you can get a nice smoke to it, but, you know, it's not going to take over the meat to me. And then,
right.
You know, I'll keep it burned because, you know, it's one of those woods that it'll burn for a long time. And so I get a lot longer burn out of it. It may not be quite as hot. And like I said, then when I put my chicken and my ribs on, then I'll go ahead and I'll start bumping it up with some apple. And, you know, that's kind of my heat and that's my flavor. And, you know, that's kind of my mixture. And you're absolutely right. I mean, that's always been kind of my deal, and that's always worked real well. I mean, there's some people out there that'll burn oak and they'll burn pecan together like that. And, you know, pecan gives a really pretty color on chicken and stuff like that. Absolutely just a beautiful color to chicken, I think. And, you know, so, yeah, there's different characteristics that you get out of that. And even just what I said, I mean, even mixing and stuff like that, too. You know, and like I said, I mean, there is, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, this orange wood. I see when y'all come out with it, and I've been curious about it, but I've also been kind of scared of it, too, you know. You know, it's kind of like grapevine. You know, there's some people out there who burn grapevine. And, I mean, you know, it may be the best thing in the world out there, but, you know, it's kind of out of your comfort zone and, you know, sometimes you need to step out there a little bit and play with a little bit of that. I don't know. I mean, what is the orange like?
Orange is, it's interesting, first off. I think it goes well with chicken and pork is what I would experiment or suggest experimenting first, even some wild game to an extent. It is definitely a difference. You try any of those citrus woods, whether it's grapefruit or lemon or whatever else, and you're going to see a big difference between that and other woods that you're used to. What I like about the orange wood is that it is so different. I mean, if you look at the color of the wood itself, it's very, very light, almost white in color. So you look at it initially and you think to yourself, okay, this is going to be different, and it does come out different. I think from a competition perspective, it's probably different enough that you might have judges say, well, this is something different. And you know how that goes with the judges. Different cannot always be good. Different sometimes is what separates you from being, you know, the guy who entered something and the guy who won something. And sometimes different is just too different. It can be, it puts you too much in a category you don't want to be in. I think orange is certainly being used in a lot of restaurants nationwide. So it's something that I think people are getting more accustomed to. They're experimenting more with, but it's certainly not a mainstay of flavors yet. So my recommendation would be try it, but try it at home. Try cooking something that's easy, like chicken. Cook something that is easy to taste different flavors in, that absorbs more flavors, like a chicken, something like that. And then decide for yourself. You know, again, there's no wrong way to barbecue.
What about seafood? Shrimp, something like that? I mean,
you know, the favorite species of wood for seafood is alder. I think orange wood would go great with that as well. You know, anytime I cook seafood, I'm certainly putting lots of lemon and lots of lime on the product itself. Burning the wood, I think, could be a great way to go. Alder being up from what mostly up in the Northwest, that's our number one selling wood that we sell for any type of seafood product. I think a close second would be our cedar planks. The cedar planks, of course, you don't cook with those. You cook on those. And that's something that I've seen lots and lots of teams use in competition for when they're doing their chef's choice and things of that sort. You talk about a really distinct flavor that you can put into your product, but yet at the same time without burning the wood itself. That would be your cedar plank.
You know, I've always seen that. I mean, you know, like I said, I come from the West, and I mean, so we had a lot of trout and stuff like that. And I'd never have cedar planked, you know, just because, you know, you know, it's one of the ones it is. I mean, it smells great when you burn it or, you know, like that. And I've just always been reluctant about that. But, you know, you see it a lot, and it's something I need to try. But, yeah, the alder, you know, absolutely. I mean, like I said, up in the Northwest, stuff like that, that is a very popular wood for smoking and stuff like that, you know, especially fish and stuff. And, yeah, I just... you know, and like I said, you know, it's a lot different from over here. You know, of course, you know, up there, they're smoking salmon and trout and, you know, that kind of stuff. It's a lot more cold water type fish, stuff like that.
Sure.
You know, but, yeah, I mean, you know, and we don't think about it. I mean, we don't think about shrimp and stuff like that because, you know, I don't think they do as much of that up there in that part of the world. They probably do a lot of mussels and stuff like that. You know, and that's the deal. I mean, you know, there's so much out there to experiment with and to try and to play with. You know, it's like my dad. My dad's a carpenter, and he's told me for years now, you know, that I need to try walnut. That he'd burned some walnut one time, and he said it just, he said that it was just almost the how sweet it come off, and he said it was almost just sick how much sweetness come out of that wood. Burning it, and they had some scraps left over from a job or something. They did some cabins or something like that, and he said it was the smell of it was just unbelievable. And
well, your walnut's going to be similar. Again, that's your same species of wood that you've got with pecan, that you've got with hickory, is walnut. That all falls under the same species of wood. Different in groups and different the way, of course, with the nut it puts off and whatever else. But, yeah, that all fits into that same category, and that is a real sweet wood. I've cooked with walnut, but I've cooked with, pecans of, 17 different types of pecans or 18 different types, and I've cooked on a number of those different ones just for experimentation purposes. One of the fun parts about my job is that I'm issued different types of barbecue pits and cooking apparatuses to try different things, to experiment different things and cook different ways. And trying different woods, yeah, I'd love to try walnut. That's interesting. I would love to try cooking with
it. Yeah. And that's what I told him. I said, well, I said, next time you, you know, you do some cabinets or something like that and you got some leftovers, send it to me. And, you know, try it. And, I mean, you just about a time to call and said, hey, you tried any walnut? Yeah, I said, well, no, I don't have any walnut. Like I said, I mean, you know, get some scraps and stuff. And, I'd love to try to take, I mean, because it's something that you don't think about. I mean, you know, and there's lots of those, you know, nut trees and stuff like that out there that, you know, we don't think about. We don't, you know, we've never tried stuff like that. That, you know, maybe just, you know, and maybe the next best thing out there. But, you know, we are, you know, creatures of habit, you know, a lot of ways. And so, you know, and until we hear it's like, oh, yeah, that's just a great thing to cook with and this and that, you know, we're kind of skeptical. Or if, you know, Monty's over there winning, you know, national championships and stuff like that with it, then, you know, we're all on board. So maybe that's what we need to do, get Monty to try it all. And, you know.
Have him pick his favorites and just tell everybody else what to use. That sounds like a great idea.
Hey, there you go.
Okay, I didn't hear that. I was watching my kids right now, so no, I didn't hear that.
Well, you agreed to it. You just don't know it yet, buddy. That'll teach you not to pay attention to class.
Don't send me Friday. We'll talk. We'll talk Friday.
I love it.
I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid we're really going to talk on Saturday too. I just might not like the outcome so well.
We might.
So, no, guys, I really am. I'm looking forward to it, and once I get all my ducks in a row here, and get down there, and like I said, I hadn't seen some of the guys in a while, and get down there, always enjoy it. you know, anytime you get to go cook is a great day. So I really have I've really been anticipating it, and you know, the bad thing about it is I'm gonna come down there, I'm gonna drag a pit down there, and I'm gonna leave it down there, and then I'm gonna be back down there on Thursday again for some more stuff down there. So I'm gonna have to come home for a couple of days and come right back down there. So
well, there's plenty of things to do if you just want to hang tight around here. There's lots of things to do in this part of the world. You know, we've got SeaWorld and the Alamo and lots of restaurants to go try different foods. There's all kinds of things to do in this neck of the woods.
Yes, you know, my brother and sister-in-law used to live there, and we used to go down there every now and then. And you're absolutely right. I mean, there is always something to do. You know, one of the best places I ever for a hamburger, I always thought was great down there in that part of the world. It's a place called Chester's.
Chester's is great. Great family that runs that business. Great people, too. They really are. If you're looking for a great burger, you also might want to try Chris Madrid's.
Really?
Oh, that's a guy graduated from Lee High School once upon a time, and he's passed away a couple of years ago, but his family still runs the business, and it has been voted number one burger in San Antonio by San Antonians, oh, I would say almost every year that they've ever had the contest. It is absolutely fantastic. If you go, you got to get the cheddar cheesy macho, without a doubt.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Say, the thing I really loved about Chester's, like I said, you know, me being from Mexico, they had green chili. And to me, there is nothing better than a green chili bacon hamburger or cheeseburger. You know, that's where I come from, that's a staple.
Love it.
Oh, it's great, you know. And so, yes, I mean, you know, those kind of things like that. You know, it's kind of like barbecue, you know. I wish I had more time and stuff to kind of go and you know, visit other places and you know, eat barbecue down there. It's, you know, that's something that I never have really done much of is eating a lot of barbecue in a lot of different areas. I mean, you know, we'll run into roll into town, and you know, we're out. And you know, you sit there and you think, you know, and, you know, after a concert, something like that, it's like, man, I wish that we'd, you know, taken, a couple hours and gone over here and eaten over here or eaten over there and tried it, just see what it was like. See, you know, the difference in stuff like that. And sometimes it probably would have paid a dividend if we'd done it in the beginning. And you know, you don't take the time to do some of that stuff. And you know, that may be the secret to some of that is, you know what they say, stop and smell the flowers every now and then. You know, that may be about as true as barbecue too.
It's true. Well, there are certainly a few good barbecue joints in place. If you want to come down early or stay late, we'd love to have you. We're looking forward to seeing you this weekend too. It's gonna be a great weekend. It really will.
I think so. The weather's looking like it's going to be pretty decent, you know, which I like. Then, like, y'all are going to have any floods or anything. That's always good down there
in
the world.
You know, I've had a few accusations come my direction over the past several cook-offs I've hosted. It's either been, 120 degrees or it's been sleet blowing sideways about 9 degrees outside. So if we can get some halfway decent weather, I will be personally excited and thrilled to death. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, now the wind blowing sideways 9 degrees, I mean, you're right here in West Texas, buddy. I can halfway handle that.
God.
Now we are, and like I said, I appreciate you guys coming on tonight. I think y'all are putting on a great contest, and like I said, I look forward to meeting everybody, and said if I get down there in time, we may try to do the Friday Night Light deal, and I'll know a little bit about it a little further in the week, kind of after I see how the first part of my week goes, and keep in contact and see what we can do on that end of it, because I'd love to do those kind of things, and if we can do it, we'll do it.
That's great.
So, well, guys, we've used up the time. I think actually we're recording a little bit here. And I enjoy any time you guys come on, especially you, Monty. Come over here and give me a little.
No problem.
Give me
no problem. Anytime.
So, man, like I said, plan on seeing you guys on Friday. Y'all have a good week. And I'll tell you what, why don't y'all give a shout-out. It's going to give a – we'll start with you, Steve. You can give everybody your website. Probably everybody knows where it's at, or Facebook page or whatever. And then, Monty, you can finish it up. And then I'm going to announce a few sponsors and stuff like that, and we'll get out of here. How's that?
You bet. I'm appreciate you having us on. Thank you for putting up with us for this past couple hours. It's been a lot of fun. From Western Premium Barbecue Products and the Western W3 Barbecue Cookoff Series, you can find us. Our website is westernbarbecueproducts.com. Of course, the series website is westernw3.com. It's got all the information you could possibly need about the series and about all of our products. And we're looking forward to seeing you this weekend at what's going to be an absolutely fantastic weekend, a great weekend for barbecue. Can't wait for it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Steve. All right, Monty.
All right. Well, I thank Westernwood as my sponsor and Danny Patton, One Man Pits. And I look forward to meeting you here soon.
Yes, sir. Well, y'all have a good night. And like I said, I'd like to give a shout-out to all of our sponsors. Like I said, number one, Daryl Mass for allowing us to have the show on Barbecue Superstars. BarbecueSmokersSupply.com. Said if you're looking for parts or something for your cookers, give Frank a call. He also has SmokerPlants.net. If you're looking to build a new pit or something like that, you don't know where to start, give Frank a shout. He can hook you up with some blueprints and stuff like that and fix you up. Red to Red Meats, they're our go-to for our competition meats, and taking the guys down there, they always take care of us, and love having them part of us. Pitmaster Depot, if you're looking for the cheapest way to get any products out there for competition, stuff like that, give Zach and Jay a call. You can find them on pitmasterdepot.com. I mean, they've got the stuff out there. They're set up for competition, and like I said, they do have the cheapest rates out there. GOT Energy Services, Brandon and Jennifer and Mike, great people. They've been big supporters of West Texas Pitmasters, and give them a shout. They're out of Midland, Texas. Oak Ridge Barbecue, Mike Trout. Man, can I say, if you're looking for some award-winning rubs there, he's the man to get a hold of. I know he's got some sponsorships and stuff going on right now, so, you know, get your application stuff in. Great bunch of rubs. Takes Web and Graphics, you're looking for business cards or banners or anything like that, Paul down there, he can fix you up. Give him a shout. You can find him under TexasWebAndGraphics.com. Big Ron's Rubs, got some killer injections, and he's also got some great rubs stuff out there, too. I'll give Big Ron a shout. Meat Rake, if you're looking to, like I said, pull your pork or rake your briskets, whatever, you're going to pull your meat. Needs a man to get a hold of meatrake.com. And Grill Grace, Brad Baird out there, I said a big shout out to him. Another one of our big sponsors. And I said, if you're looking for that infrared type cooking technique or something on your grill, something, he's got also griddles, he's got other utensils, stuff like that. Give Brad a shout. You can find him under grillgrace.com. Guys, this is West Texas Pitmasters. Barbecue show, Sunday night, 7 o'clock every Sunday night. Appreciate y'all coming in, and we'll see y'all next weekend. And everybody have a great week, and smoke on. Good night.
Good night, brother.
All right, you too. Thank y'all, guys.
No, thank you. Appreciate it. We'll look forward to seeing you in person here in just a few days.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm going to enjoy it. Guarantee you, we'll have a good time. Thank y'all.
Good deal. You take care. We'll see you.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.